Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. In the studio this evening with my good friend and mentor, Dr. G. How you doing, sir?
We're blessed.
I know that's right. I'm glad that you and Sheila G. were able to get away and get a little R&R.
Amen.
I know it's always good to be able to recuperate and rest up. And now we're back to studying the Word again.
Amen.
So we're going to get into the Word. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your Word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
On last week, we had Big Brother Brandon with us, and we were continuing our study in the book of Matthew in the 13th chapter. And again, we were following up on how Jesus was explaining about the wheat and the tare and how that they would go together, grow together, and that he would do the separating. And when we pick back up on chapter 13 and verse 44, verses 44 through 50, it's talking about how there's going to be a contrast between those that are saved or those that are lost or those that are found. And it's painting a picture of the kingdom of God or when Christ comes back for his church, how there's going to be some that are going to be saved and some going to be lost.
Amen.
And, you know, early on, he was painting this picture, and you know, like the title of our Bible study, There's Nothing New Under the Sun. There's still going to be some that are going to be saved and some that are going to be lost. And, you know, he paints this picture, and he lets you know that he's coming back for his own, what's valuable to him, and those who don't accept him as the Messiah of God or the Christ of God, or Lord and Savior, how they're going to be left behind. And there's not going to be an excuse. And, you know, when he's talking in these parables, he's letting them know that this is the way it's going to be. And I think, Dr. G, I think some people are of the mindset that they think that there's not going to be a time where Christ is going to come back for the church and those that are saved are going to be caught up to meet him in the air, and those that are in the grave will get up first, and those who remain will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. I think people are of the mindset that this is it, and you know, there is no Savior, there is no Messiah, and that this is not going to happen.
Amen. No, I think you're right. You know, we live in a time now where too many people are just going through the motions, and to really see folk that are serious about their walk with Christ is very rare. And you're right. People just, I don't know, they just don't seem to believe that heaven is real or hell is real, or, you know, we all going to make it into heaven. All we got to do is just do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Here, Jesus makes it plain and simple. I mean, if you didn't understand it before, you should now.
Absolutely. And, you know, he talked plain. Let's look at verse 44. We'll look at Matthew 13:44. This is the kingdom of heaven. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. And so this is in comparison to Christ. He has his chosen people, and at the appointed time, he's going to give everything he has. He's going to give his life for those that have believed in him and have believed him as being Lord and Savior. And he's going to give everything he has, and he's going to come, and he's going to purchase them where he purchased them with his blood. And so we're all bought with a price.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been purchased with the blood of Christ. So he gave up everything so that we might have eternal life. And so this is how the kingdom of heaven is. It's someone realizing the great treasure or the great blessing and willing to lay down his life or buy that which he has was lost and now is found. And that's the great thing about Christ is that he was willing to pay a price he couldn't pay.
Amen.
And he was willing to do what we couldn't do. And that's the love of God shining through, letting us know that we were valuable to God. And we were so valuable to God that the scripture said God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, that
Amen.
Whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And I think the enemy's responsibility is to convince us that we're not valuable to God.
Amen.
And to get us in a situation where we think that, I don't mean anything or my life is not that valuable, but God was willing to give everything, give his son and give everything, and that lets us know that we are this treasure. And when this example of the hid treasure says that he buyeth the field, he was willing to give everything for the joy. He selleth all he hath to buy the field. And so he was willing to give everything because he saw the value in us. And that should let us know that we're valuable to God, that he'd be willing to do that.
Amen. And it's a shame because we can't even see beyond just the tip of the iceberg because we are valuable to him, everything that he continues to do. The fact that he did leave his eternal home, came down, walked among us, and I forget the book I was reading today, but how, you know, he appeared before men.
Yeah.
So that whereas before, you know, the angels would come and they would frighten people, but Jesus came down and he made it possible that mankind could actually talk with him, ask questions and go through the motions. But we just don't get it. We don't see the value in what he did and how we ought to carry ourselves to be able to inherit kingdom of heaven.
Amen. And I think sometimes people are just talking about heaven.
Amen.
They don't understand what it's about and how much it costs and how God has prepared a place for
mm-hmm.
us. That's what I get excited about.
Amen.
I get excited about that when Christ left this earth, before he left, he said, "I go to prepare
yeah.
a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again
All right.
and receive you to myself."
Amen.
And then he said, "In my Father's house
Come
are
on.
Many mansions."
Come on.
If it wasn't so, he would have told us.
Amen.
And so that's what I get excited about. When the road gets a little rough down here,
Hello.
I get excited because I know that I have a Savior who has paid a price I couldn't pay and who has prepared a place for me after my earthly existence.
Amen.
And we're teaching a series of sermons about how the Holy Spirit works with us now during our earthly existence and how we are moving toward our heavenly existence.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy is upset because we are able to walk by faith and not by sight, realizing that we have a greater eternal home or greater eternal place or greater eternal purpose. And we don't get flustered
mm-hmm.
by the things of the world.
Amen.
And he doesn't understand how we can still walk by faith, even though everything is falling down around us,
mm-hmm.
situations, circumstances are bad all over the world. And yet you still have a people that are walking by faith and not by sight and continue to still have faith because they have the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside that allows them to look beyond their five senses.
Right.
And see spiritually and
mm-hmm.
eternally what God has in store for us.
Amen. And you know, when you think about heaven, you know, we talk about it, but I think you hit it on the head that a lot of people can't really grasp
mm-hmm.
the fact that heaven is real.
Yeah.
And as you said, you know, when stuff is going on down here, when life sucks,
mm-hmm.
you know, to think about, okay, well, this is not my permanent home. I'm preparing for a heavenly home.
Right.
I mean, I too, you know, especially when I'm preaching I'm talking about, I'm thinking about when I leave here,
All right.
I'm going home
All right.
to be with my Lord.
All right.
And up there, I don't have to share my mansion with no one
Amen.
But me. And the fact that God has, you know, through Jesus, prepared that place for us.
Yeah.
For us. But in order to get it, we've got to live right down here. And take everything that he says in that word at face value. You know, it's real.
Amen. And he's telling us how valuable it is. Let's
Amen.
Go to verse 45. And it says, again, the kingdom of heaven
godly pearls.
Is like unto a merchant man seeking godly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, he's selling out.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is God gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
And the gravity of that is if we could look at Abraham and all that Abraham had to go through,
That's
him
right.
and Sarah
mm-hmm.
before they had Isaac.
Amen.
I mean, they went through a whole lot of drama. I mean, they went through the other woman,
mm-hmm.
they went through lying,
Amen.
Scheming.
Yeah.
Old age and just challenges, but their faith grew to a certain point that they were so in tune with God that when God asked him to go and he tested him,
That's right.
and he asked him to go sacrifice Isaac,
only son.
And that was his only son, and he went through all of that, and he was willing to do it, and the reason why he was willing to do it is because he saw beyond what his eyes could see.
Mm-hmm.
He saw that if he made that sacrifice, that God was willing and able to raise up Isaac from dead. In other words, he had went through so much, and his faith had gotten so strong that he said, "God brought me through all of this.
Amen.
So just sacrificing my son,
mm-hmm.
he said, me and the lad are going to go up, and then we're going to come back."
All right.
In other words, God told him he was going to sacrifice him. So in other words, he understood that whatever God had in store, he was able to fix it, even through this physical body.
Amen.
And so when God's son was asked, He said, who shall go for us and who shall we send? And the Lamb of God stood in the midst of them, and he said that he would go. But he went, the scripture says he endured the cross for the joy that was set before.
Wow.
In other words, he was willing to make this great sacrifice, this great pain, this endure the cross because of the joy that he would have for those who would be saved, those that would be redeemed and placed back into the right relationship with God.
Mm.
And that's the way it is with should be all of us
mm-hmm.
who are saved. Anybody that knows somebody that's been saved, been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, we should be jumping for joy.
That's right.
The scripture says that heaven rejoices over one soul. And so this is the type of joy that God has when one soul is saved. This is the type of joy that Christ said he had. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before. And so in the kingdom, explanation of the kingdom is that God considers us to be so valuable. It's like a pearl. And when he sees that we're ready, when he sees that we're accepting him by faith, he's willing to give everything that he has in order for us to be able to experience him in the kingdom again.
Mm.
That's an awesome thing, Dr.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. But the sad part about it is that most folks, and I'm talking about those in the church,
mm-hmm.
don't seem to get it. You know, it's like they're so busy trying to hold on to this our little lone little piece of ground down
Uh-oh.
Here that we can't grasp what's waiting for us up there. It's like, you know, we think about all that we have to sacrifice to get what Christ sacrificed, but we're not willing to let go of anything
wow.
to get
wow.
what God has. And that's a sad scenario.
Let's go to the Gospel of John. Let's go to John 14, Gospel of John, 14th chapter. And here Christ again is talking about heaven. And verse 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now, this is Jesus talking.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what? "In my Father's
house
are what?
Many
mansions." I'm going to say that again. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you," right? And then in verse 3 it says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, where I am, you may be also." And so this is the hope of the Christian while we're on our earthly existence,
mm-hmm.
is that while we're here, God is preparing a place for us.
Amen.
And so some people have longer lives and some people have shorter lives.
Amen.
Amen. But if you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, you've got a place that's being prepared for you.
Hello.
And so a lot of times when people go to homegoing services, this is one of the favorite scriptures that people read at
mm-hmm.
homegoing services, because it lets us know that when our earthly existence stops on this side, our existence, our relationship with God doesn't stop.
That's right.
That's if we have accepted him as Lord and Savior of our life.
That's right.
Because we're either going to live eternally with God or eternally separated from God.
That's right.
And so this is the joy that God said is these people have a chance. They have a choice. They have the ability to spend eternity with me in the relationship that he really in the beginning intended for us to have. And you ever seen someone that was ill, get well? Use that example. Someone has been really ill, they was in the hospital, they had surgery, or they had cancer or something, and they were just physically ill. I've seen myself, I've seen family members where you were just ill and you weren't 100%, and people come and visit you, and you go visit someone, and over a period of time, you see them restored back to health.
Mm-hmm.
And you're so happy with them. You know, my wife had surgery this year, and you were so happy to see them after you saw them go through the surgery, the pain, the ache, and the sorrow, and the rehab, and the struggle trying to get back, and the weight loss, and all of that. And then to see them come back and be 100%, that's like joy to see them and see them acting normally and see them restored to health. This is the way God wants us to be. He wants us to be restored back to that spiritual place that we had with mankind had with God in the beginning before Adam and Eve messed up. And so that's the joy to see someone come back that was almost on the brink of death. My dad, about 3 years ago, he had two forms of cancer. And, you know, he was bad off going through chemo and radiation. But now when I saw him this past Sunday, he looks like $1 million.
Amen.
And it just made me so happy to see where he came from. And I can see Christ and God the Father being so happy to see us have eternal life again with him.
Mm. And, you know, with me, it's looking at Jessica.
Yeah.
Because every time she tells the story, you know, she goes up with school when she was a baby and a little young girl, the mother would go up with her and tell story. But now to see her get up, share her own story, and when you think about 11 surgeries, and then 11 surgeries later, when you go back and you watch her and see what she went through, the pain, the agony, that last surgery, we were on the phone with her. And girlfriend said, "Where my mom?" You know, she had just left to go to work. But you're right. To see her now and how peppy. And see, and what I love about her is the fact that now she knows how far she's come.
Amen.
And where she's come from. So she don't have a problem being a mouthpiece for the Lord. And she still goes through those up and down moments because we're human, you know, and she's young. But you're right. When we think about all that God has done to get us ready for that heavenly home, it ought to make us rejoice. But, you know, the thing that really in that first verse, which says, "Let not your heart be troubled," he could have put in it, "if you believe in God."
Amen.
But he did.
Amen. Amen.
You know, he was on that premise, "Ye believe in God, you're going to believe one day or the other."
Yeah.
And like you said, you're either going to go up or you're going to go down. But at the end, you will believe.
Amen. Amen. And when you have that assurance, when you have that understanding that this world is not my home.
Amen.
When you can watch your loved ones go from being in physical good health to being physical poor health, and then eventually passing over, you understand that that's the end of our earthly existence.
Amen.
Our earthly existence.
Right.
We have a soul that's going to live on forever.
That's right.
Either with God or separated from God.
All right.
And our earthly existence, and you can look at yourself and look at yourself 10 years ago, and you can see that your physical body is aging.
Got that right.
Amen. And it's getting older.
Amen.
And it's going to go back to the dust.
Amen.
From whence it came.
Mm-hmm.
Because of sin in this world.
Amen.
But if you have a Savior that says that I'm going to come and I'm going to get it. Amen. In other words, that this body, if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we got a new building that's not made by hand, but eternal in the heaven.
Amen.
And so all this talk about heaven, people need to understand, don't hold on so tight to this earthly existence.
Mm.
This earthly existence, because this spirit that God has put in us, his Holy Spirit, we're able to endure the hardship of the physical body that has been cursed by sin.
Amen.
We hurt and we bleed, and we have sickness and pain because of sin in our physical body, but because we have been given the Holy Spirit, we're able to endure. And that was the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit when we studied back in the third chapter of the book of Matthew, where the Holy Spirit came and lighted on Jesus before he started his earthly ministry. In order for him to do his earthly ministry, he had to have that Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, to help him through this earthly ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So it is with us. We have to have the presence of the Holy Spirit to help us through our earthly existence until Christ says enough done.
Amen.
And he calls us from labor to reward.
Amen.
But he also says don't be weary in well-doing.
Right.
And then he also tells us that our labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Amen.
And he explains to us that this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so what happened is Christ did away with what the curse. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and see what he did. And I'm just trying to get people to be okay with their earthly existence and understand that Christ has something far better for
mm-hmm.
us, far greater. And we just want to look at what has to happen with this physical house. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, and why don't we start at the 15th chapter. I want to start at verse 51. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed."
Hello.
"In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised," what?
Incorruptible.
"And shall be," what? "Changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, "then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in" what?
Victory.
See, we can understand that we already have the victory because we have the victory in Christ.
Right.
And because we have that, we should be able to endure what our purpose and plan is in our earthly ministry. Let's go down to verse 53. It says, "O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, we have the victory through Christ because of what Christ has done. But verse 58 is sometimes left out, but this
Amen.
Is where we need to be.
That's right.
He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye" what? "Steadfast." What happened to the steadfastness in the church? "Unmovable." What happened to the unmovableness in the church?
Mm-mm.
"Always abounding in the work of the Lord." What happened to the abounding in the work of the Lord? "For as much as you know," in other words, you know that your labor in the Lord is not what?
In
vain. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So here is our responsibility, even though we have this mortal body, this corruptible body, is to continue to be steadfast
mm-hmm.
doing the work of the Lord, because we know we have the victory. We know that the kingdom of heaven is being prepared for us, and we know that God has given his all, and now we just have to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain until God has enough done.
Amen.
But I think sometimes we get in these pity parties.
All right.
And the enemy puts a little pressure, a little pain on us, and we forget about the victory, and we forget about our heavenly home, and we
mm-hmm.
forget about the price that God paid.
What was me?
Because I don't think we rehearse enough in the Word to remember. Sometimes you gotta rehearse and remember what God did. That's why it's important for us to observe communion so often.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we didn't, we will forget about the body mm-hmm. and the blood of the
Amen.
Lord that paid the price for
Amen.
Us. And that's why the enemy will put everything in our way
mm-hmm.
to keep us from studying the Word of God. Football season is getting ready to start again.
Yes, it is.
And I think for the next eight, nine months,
mm-hmm.
a whole lot of people are going to be worshiping the football God. Amen.
Amen.
I know I've been in churches where deacons would take off on
That's
Sunday.
Right.
Amen. If it was a home game.
Amen.
Because they had to be at the stadium.
At the stadium. And then put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Put it on Facebook. But you know, the thing that we fail to realize is that we have no control over life or death. And only the Lord knows how long we're going to live upon this earth. but we don't take, I don't know if we take the Lord serious, but you know, a lot of people don't take death serious enough, and the fact that we can't change it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we get close to it, but then all of a sudden, then we want to repent, and then mm-hmm. we want to get right with God. But what about all that time leading up to
mm-hmm.
when we had time? You know, what Paul was saying here is so true. You know, all of this has to take place. And like it says in that 51,
mm-hmm.
We shall all be changed.
Yeah.
Whether we're going up or down, but we're going to be changed.
That's it. And so the key here is to understand and make the adjustment in our spiritual and in our physical life, is that heaven is real and that God has given his all and he's prepared a place for me. And yes, we're going to live among people who are saved
that's
as well
right.
as unsaved,
mm-hmm.
which will make it difficult.
Amen.
Everybody that's in this world doesn't get along with everybody.
Mm-mm.
Amen, like.
Amen.
Some people don't even get along with their own family.
Amen.
Anymore. And so when you come into the church family, you're not going to always get along with everybody.
Mm-mm.
Uh-oh. Can we just keep it real?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're different.
Amen.
Amen. But if we have been born of the Spirit, we've been yes. baptized into the same body, we all become one body in Christ. And so we have to learn to get along. And so through teaching, through prayer, through fasting, through understanding of the word and applicable, applying the word to our lives, the body of Christ can accomplish the work of Christ. And so we say all of this to say that if we know that heaven is our home, if we know that God has prepared a place for us, we know that God purchased us and gave everything he has, and he's left on record for things, a purpose and a plan for us to do, we have to learn to work together.
Mm.
And this is what is one of the greatest challenges of the church, is that we don't operate under kingdom principles.
Nope.
We want to be a part of the kingdom, but we don't want to operate under kingdom principles.
Nope.
We don't want to operate under the king. We want a savior, but we don't want a lord. And so we have to understand how to operate under kingdom principles, because when God calls us from labor to reward and we enter into the kingdom, he's not going to have a whole bunch of foolishness.
Ouch.
And that's why he said he came to set up the kingdom of God in our hearts.
Amen.
And so our earthly existence is basically dealing with our heart condition, getting our hearts ready to go deal with so we can be put together with that new body. God's not going to put us together with that new body if our old heart is not right.
Amen.
So our heart has, with the songwriter said, my heart's fixed and my mind's made up because I've been transformed by the renewing of my mind. And so once my heart is right with God, I've accepted him as Lord and Savior, then I can be coupled with my new body in the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to understand that right now we're a part of the body of Christ, and we have to get along.
Amen.
Our hearts have to be right. The
Amen.
Kingdom of God has to be right in our hearts. We have to learn to get along. We have to learn to get along with all of our difference.
Amen.
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 Couple of months, I've been telling people that we don't get along with each other.
Mm-mm.
I said fat people don't like skinny people. Skinny people don't like fat people. Light-skinned folk don't like dark-skinned
Mm-mm.
folk. Dark-skinned folk don't like light-skinned folk. Bald-head folk don't like folk that got hair. Come on now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Folk that got curly hair don't like folk that got straight hair.
Mm-hmm.
They'll call folks with curly hair nappy.
Amen.
And the nappy hair folk will call folks with straight hair stringy.
Hello.
Amen.
Amen.
All in the same church.
That's
Can't
right.
get along with nothing.
Amen.
Amen. Short people don't like tall people.
Uh-huh.
Tall people don't like short people.
Mm.
Rich people don't like poor people. Poor people don't like rich people.
Mm.
Republicans don't like Democrats.
Nope.
Democrats don't like Republicans. Folk just don't like each other.
Amen.
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 And none of this is going to happen in the kingdom of heaven.
Hello.
Y'all hear me?
Amen.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
We're fooling ourselves.
Right.
Amen. Baptist church don't like the Protestant, the Presbyterian. The Presbyterian don't like the Catholic. The holiness don't like the whatever. Yeah? But everybody going to heaven. Amen. Don't like each other. I don't like each you. You said this. Old people don't like young people. Young people don't like old people.
Amen.
All of this, and everybody comes to church and say, oh, I love the Lord. He saved my soul. How good God is. She get on my nerves.
Hello.
I can't stand him. I'm going to leave this church and go to what?
Another church. Amen.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm not going to go to church at all.
Amen.
No more.
Amen.
But I'm going to heaven.
Hello.
And so I say all this to say, at some point, we all got to realize that we're in the body of Christ together.
Come on.
Let's go to Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I think it's 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And understand that God wants us to work together. And when we get to this kingdom, you're not just going to stay in your mansion and close your door and not do anything. There's going to be things for us to do in heaven other than stay in our mansion.
All right.
That's a deeper Bible study.
Uh-huh.
You're not just going to go to your mansion and just walk around in your mansion and not do this. There's our earthly existence had you did stuff, right?
Amen.
Right? We got jobs and stuff. In our heavenly existence, there's going to be stuff for us to do. And so when God says you've been faithful over a few things, come up high, I'll make you rule over many, there's going to be things and rulers and situations in the kingdom of God. You're not, just not going to be in your mansion talking about walking around heaven all day. I know there's a song there, but you, while you're walking around, you're going to be doing some other stuff.
Amen.
Amen? Okay. In your earthly, your heavenly existence.
Uh-huh.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, and let's look at verse 12. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also what? Is Christ." So in other words, we are all supposed to be of the same body. We're all supposed to understand that Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. God wants us in the body to be as one, and he wants us to carry out what his one purpose is. And we have to understand that all of us have different roles. All of us have different things that we do to make up the body of Christ for the glory of God, to carry out the purpose of God. And we just need to stop. We just need to quit it. When we're talking about all this heaven and I'm going here and I'm doing this and this is what heaven is and I can't wait till I get to heaven. God wants to see where your heart is right now.
Amen.
Working in the body of Christ.
Amen.
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 He wants to see you to be able to understand your earthly existence and carry out his purpose and plan for it. He wants you to be able to get along with me the way he got along with you when you weren't saved.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter is, Dr. G, that even though we saved, we still have some issues.
Man.
Notice how I emphasize the F on that. Issues.
Hello.
Amen. And because I got issues, don't think you don't have issues.
Amen.
Let's look what he says in verse 11. Verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. He says, "For by one Spirit are we what? All what? Baptized into what? One body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into what? One spirit. For the body is not one, but many members."
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, what the enemy wants us to do, he wants us to act a fool in the body. I call it the clown car.
Come on now.
The clown car. The clown car is like, when you're going down the track, everything's going smooth, there's always one car with a clown in it that's trying to rock back and forth, so the car can't run smooth.
All right.
The clown car.
Amen.
And every one of us has been a part of the clown car at one time.
Amen.
Amen. The clown car is a hindrance to the work of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stay on the track with the clown car going back and forth, immature. They throwing stuff, laughing at people, cussing people out,
right.
playing practical
yep.
jokes,
That's
jump
right.
off the train. You got to stop the train, throw an emergency brake on, trying to get the program off. The clown car. All of us got to deal with the clown car in the body of Christ.
Amen.
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 The only thing you can do is pray and ask God to help these folks to mature, help these folks to see, help these folks to operate in the way that God would have them to operate, to calm down the clown car.
Tell it.
You got the village idiot and the fool on the clown car.
Come on now.
But the thing is that everybody's played the fool at some point.
Amen.
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 And so we have to understand this is what's going on. And we got to get this thing together because there's going to come a time where God's going to uncouple the clown car from the train.
Hello.
And it's going to go separately. And the rest of the body is going to go this way.
That's right.
And the clown car is going to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
So our thing is to pray for those who are on this so that they will get off of that car, come to know God, come to know what his purpose is for God. And get off of that before it's everlasting too late.
Amen.
And trying to explain that in a manner where people can understand is the importance of knowing what God did for us to have a home in heaven, to have a new body, to be able to continue to work so those that who are sin sick can come to know him also.
Amen.
That's where the train is trying to go. It's trying to go to everyone that has a sin-sick soul and trying to send them the good news of Jesus Christ is that you don't have to be sin-sick anymore.
Amen.
Get on the salvation train.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
And this is what God wants us to do, but we I think sometimes we forget about that, Dr.
Amen.
G.
Amen. You're right. And, you know, while you were talking, my mind went back to Matthew 13-15. We talk about everybody that's not converted. I mean, you know, we have a form of religion, but we're not really converted.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not really to the point where people understand that conversion is something that has to take place, as you said, within the heart.
Yeah.
You know, the heart can't stay the same. You know, the Bible says old things are passed away and all things become new. Well, when you become converted, when you really accept the Lord as your personal Savior, that conversion has to start taking place. But you can't just hit and miss. You can't, okay, you'll bring your Bible, you'll study it on Sunday morning, but then during the rest of the week, you leave it where it is on the shelf or underneath the bed or wherever. You pray only when you're going through something. All of that will not help you grow stronger in your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're not converted, everybody hasn't really been converted. You know, as that verse says, you know, we hear, but we don't hear.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil is just throwing stuff out there.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, rather than, as you've already hit on, rather than pick up that word and really get into the word, you know, we want to fight back with those carnal weapons. You know, you can't fight him with stones and you can't cuss smoke out. And no, we just don't get along in the church. And until we learn how to accept everybody, you know, when I think about it and I go back and you think about that in the New Testament, when Jesus came along, he had to teach the disciples as well as Paul that this gospel was for Jew and Gentile alike. It's for everybody, not just the Jews. And that's what got a lot of those Pharisees and those brothers in trouble because they thought it was their own little exclusive club.
Yeah.
But this thing has been open to everybody. And until we get to the point where we can learn, we don't have to like everything that people do, but we do have to love them. And to sidetrack a little bit, that's what's wrong with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that joker is all off in left field and is about Trump. Everything
not
about Trump, about self. And until we get to a point that we understand that it's not about us, but it's still all about God, and we've got to learn how to get along, as you said, with each other.
Right.
We don't have to like everything that people do, but you better show enough love everybody.
And the whole body has to work together to get folk
Amen.
Off of that clown car.
Amen.
Because anybody ever seen at the station, where a train comes in the station,
mm-hmm.
Particularly freight cars, they uncouple at a certain place, and part of the train cars will go one way, and a part will go the other way. And this is what's going to happen. Everybody, the wheat and the tares are growing together right now.
Amen.
But there's going to come a separation.
That's right.
And all those that didn't get off on the right track,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to be, it's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth, is
Amen.
What the Bible says.
Amen.
And so while we're here together, we're growing together, and nobody knows the heart. You know, we look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. We can look at fruit, and we can tell the fruit. The Bible says the tree is known by the fruit that it bears. We can look at fruit, but people can fake the funk for a little while.
Big time.
But if you consistently are bearing good fruit, you
mm-hmm.
can tell. But if you're bearing fruit, good fruit here, bad fruit there, then you know there's still some changing to be happen. But our whole purpose as the body of Christ is to work with those who are on the same train with us.
Mm-hmm.
And continue to keep the train going down the track to work to find those that are sin sick that need to hear the good news of the gospel. So we get distracted in the church because we're working with folk that are acting clown,
mm.
and it makes it hard for us to present the good news, the message,
mm-hmm.
because people will look at the message and say, oh my gosh, they're trying to present the good news, and everybody that's on the train is acting like a clown. They're acting like a clown. Why am I going to get on that train when everybody on that train is acting like a clown? And they're talking about the good news of Jesus Christ. Come aboard, my friend. Come along, get aboard, and
Amen.
Ride this train.
Amen.
Nothing on this train to lose. We got everything to gain, right? He said, why would I get on that train when you got that clown that's in the church swinging out, acting a fool, running up and down, causing wreaking havoc, doing everything? Why am I going to get on that?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is for us to get serious about ourselves, serious about ministry, serious about ministering to ourselves in the body of Christ, so we can be that example, that light that will be attractive or shine to someone that would say, you know, I yield, what must I do to be saved?
Right.
But until the body of Christ gets together and realize it's not, like you said, it's not just about you,
mm-hmm.
but it's about the whole body,
That's right.
then we're not going to have that attractive quality. Will have that seriousness where people will take you for serious and see that you're about not just yourself but trying to help someone else.
Amen. And two, with that, you know, we have to understand that, you know, we're not perfect. You know, we may be in the body of Christ, but it is still a growing and developing where we're learning, and you have to continue to work to change the mindset and get the heart right. So none of us have reached perfection yet. The Bible says there's no righteous but one, and that was Jesus.
Right.
And we already talked about what he did. He came down to save us and prepare a home for us up in heaven. But we're not there yet. We're not perfect.
No, not at all. And let's go back to Matthew 13, and I want to read this about Jesus has a net. And you know, Jesus talked in parables. That's why I talk in parables about train cars and clown cars and, you know, football teams and things like that, because it helps to meet people with how they can understand. Let's go back to Matthew 13 and look at verses 47 through 50. And he's talking about a net, and he's equating this with how the kingdom of heaven is. In verse 47, Matthew 13, verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. In verse 49, so shall it be at the end of the world. Angels shall come forth and sever the wicked what? From the just.
Amen.
And shall cast them into
furnace.
Furnace of what?
Fire.
There shall be what?
Wailing.
Wailing and gnashing of teeth. Nobody preaches about that.
Mm-mm.
No. When was the last time you heard that? Nobody preached about that. there's going to come a time where, like I said, that clown car is going to get separated from the train, the section that is going in the right direction. And here again with the net, and this is what the message should be telling people, the body of Christ. And I always go back to the body. We have a message to proclaim, but we have to be right with God to be able to proclaim the message where people can receive the message.
Mm.
And so when I come to worship, or I come to do the work of the Lord, when I come to exercise my gift that God has given me, I should take that with seriousness.
That's right.
My labor in the Lord should be serious because of the outcome that if I don't do it, there's going to be more folk that's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if someone is sick, you want to get them to the hospital as soon as possible. Someone has a heart attack or illness, you want to get them where they can get help as soon as possible. You don't act a fool if someone's dying on the street. You get serious. You find someone who can help. You do whatever you can to help to get that person to be saved, that they can live. Am I right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You don't go, you know, if someone's having a heart attack, you don't get mad with somebody because they didn't speak to you. Oh, you can't speak to me? Well, so-and-so's having a heart attack, and I'm trying to minister to them. Well, you could at least spoke to me. Well, can you call 911? Well, I'm not going to call 911 until you speak to me. You yelling at me, call 911. You could at least say good morning, as Medea would say. But this is basically, this is what happens in the church. There's people whose souls are lost,
yeah,
and we mad as hell with each other about stupid stuff.
Stupid.
Amen.
Amen.
If someone got hit by a car and there's an artery that's bleeding,
amen,
it's pumping out blood, someone will get mad. Well, you shouldn't have drove by me that fast anyway. You drove by me, well, I ain't going to stop for you. You drove by, you deserve to be in that accident. I ain't stopping for nobody. Really? We should be stopping as fast as we can,
amen,
putting a tourniquet on,
right,
getting that person to a place where,
mm-hmm,
they can get blood transfusions and sewed up and all this stuff. But we don't see ourselves as that. We see ourselves as just being selfish. It's all about me. I didn't get this. I didn't get this. I don't believe this. They didn't do this for me. I didn't do this for me. But it's about those that are lost.
Amen.
Those that need a hospital, those that need help, those that need to be made alive again. That's what it's about. And God's going to do the separating.
Mm.
Amen.
Mm.
But it's our responsibility as the body of Christ is to go and present this message.
Amen.
In a way that people can receive it.
That's
and, not,
right,
and stop acting like the clown card.
Amen. You're right. I mean, you know, if our people could ever understand that, as Sheila, you would say, you know, folk get caught up on their emotions. And we're living in such a time now that we're rolling off of emotion. I'm talking about people in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you're talking about the people getting mad with you, they're going to leave the church, they're going to go someplace else. And they're not hurting anybody but themselves. And they don't stop and think about that because, see, the church is, if people are living, if we are doing what we're supposed to do in the church is not going to die. Yeah, that's why Jesus came down, that church would live on. Now, we may lose some numbers, but we have to continue to carry that word,
mm-hmm,
and do what we're supposed to do. There was a young man, I believe he came last year. He was out of the city. He was an intern, and he,
mm-hmm,
came and,
mm-hmm,
visited the church. And, you know, I shared with folk, you know, that we have to go out of our way,
yeah,
to make folk feel at home.
Yeah.
And he kept coming Sunday after Sunday,
mm-hmm,
after,
mm-hmm,
Sunday. And then by the time he finally did leave, you know, he asked me, you know, he said he's getting ready to go home.
Mm-hmm.
But he gave a testimony of how he felt when he came and how we opened up our hearts,
mm-hmm,
to welcome him into the church. And the little guy came back this year. I think he was in town visiting.
Mm-hmm.
But he came back and visited us and just thanked us again.
Wow.
For being so kind and open. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's not about, you know, us, who come. You know, we have to show the love and support. because we never know Christ may be in disguise.
Amen.
We be in the church acting the fool, we going to lose it all.
On the clown car.
On the clown car.
But the if people have their heart, if to see, I know
mm-hmm.
we just had a tragedy in Silver Spring
yeah.
Last night, early this
mm-hmm.
morning, where a building blew
right.
up, and people were lost and people were hurt, and community has come together
mm-hmm.
to give assistance to those people who are displaced or people who have lost loved ones because they saw the need. But why this stuff had to blow up?
Thank you. Before we see the need.
Before we see the need.
And do something about it.
You understand what I'm saying? Why do we have to see stuff in dire straits before we go fund something? Or GoFundMe page
mm-hmm.
or something like that. And it comes down to understanding the kingdom of heaven, the love of God in your heart, the shed abroad by the Holy Spirit, that we would see not only just with our physical eyes, but with our spiritual eyes, that when the body and soul separate, it's either going to heaven or it's going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we need to have our focus, to understand that this is the importance that the body of Christ has in this world, in our earthly existence right now.
Amen.
Well, Dr. G, I think I got on my soapbox a little too much tonight.
It happens. It happens.
But the passion is
mm-hmm.
rising up that we have to get past our pettiness. And, you know, folks need to see, am I on the clown car or am I on the car that's going to present a good gospel message?
Amen.
And we have to look at ourselves,
mm-hmm.
you know. Like I said, everybody plays a fool sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But we shouldn't be on the clown car all the time. There should be, we should be getting off of that thing, getting mature, getting serious, getting out of operating in our feelings and our emotions so much to a point where we are presenting the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And God says all we have to do is plant and all we have to do is water.
That's
he
right.
said he'll give the increase.
Amen.
And once the church starts doing that and understanding our gifting and how we come together as the body of Christ and minister to each other for edifying and the building up the body of Christ for the work of the ministry, then we can get closer to where we can God say, well done.
Amen.
And I think everybody that's in Christ wants to hear him say, well done, good, faithful servant.
Amen.
Dr. G, that's going to do it for tonight. Any last comments? And close out with prayer. Next week we can ask some more questions.
Amen. No, I think you hit it on the nail pretty much. But you know, we live in a day and time now that if we don't take stock and really take heed of what's going on, we're going to get caught up in the way that the enemy wants to take us. And again, you know, we've got to get out of our feelings. And understand it's not about those feelings. It's about being obedient to what Christ would
mm-hmm.
have us to be. And if we could ever do that, we would be such a strong and good people to help win other people to Christ.
Amen.
That's one of the bad
Amen.
Things about it, that you know, we get caught up in our feelings, we'll raise hell in the church, and then we wonder why folks don't want to come into the church.
Amen.
I mean, have you seen folk come out of the church mad? You know, in the past, I grew up and I would watch some of them old officers, you know, they'd go out, hand fingers up in the air, but got to go get a little smoke. You know, all kinds of stuff is going on in the church. But we're not representing Christ in the mode and fashion that he wants. And wake up time is here. We've got to take heed now because tomorrow is my promise. Amen. Can we bow our heads? Gracious God, our Father, we thank you, O Lord, again for another evening. We thank you, O Lord, for what we've studied. I pray, Lord, now that
yes,
what we've taught, what we've talked about will be something that will help stir something up within our spirit. Help us, O Lord, that we might understand that you left your eternal home and came down through
yes,
42
Lord.
Generations. Lord, you gave up all that you knew in order to come save us. Now, Lord, we've got to take on the perfect example and start living the life that we talk about. Father, we thank you for these that have come out. We pray now that as we depart, that you would watch over us, that you would take us safely back to our destinations. We thank you for those that have called. And, Lord, we just ask that if it's your will, that you would awaken us up on tomorrow and let us go forth. But we do ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. That's going to do it for us tonight. We'll see you next Thursday night. Good night. The clown car.